Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and I'm joined with my co-host,
Kenny Jang.
Yes, and we are back together on Zoom is how we record these conversations. And we are here with some very exciting and honored guests to talk about what's happening at the intersection of Bible and technology. And this is very much on the forefront, the frontiers, literally the frontiers of reaching the ends of the earth. Can you imagine that, Kenny?
It is really interesting. Some of the things that we talk about here on this podcast, talk about future forward and things that you see in sci-fi movies. But today is going to be, I think, both. It's a topic in my mind that a lot of people haven't caught up with what actually is going on in the industry. And so, I'm excited to talk to our two guests today. Before we bring them on, why don't you just share with them who the names of our guests as I bring them on to our show today, DJ.
Yes, our guests are Mark Green, and he is based in Oklahoma City, and he's been a very pivotal and generous person in the whole Bible technology space, and you'll hear more about how he's involved with this particular project that's really facilitating a lot of collaboration between 10 or 12 or more organizations that are in the Bible cause. And then secondly, we have Todd Peterson. He's also part of the Illuminations.Bible and Every Tribe, Every Nation, which we will unpack for you some really powerful projects that may not have been in the spotlights, but they are really shining a light into the darkness of the frontier of people who don't yet have the Bible. Welcome, Mark.
Gentlemen, welcome
Todd.
To the podcast.
Thanks so much.
Looking forward to
it. So why don't we start here? Let's get back to basics. Introductions are in order. There's a lot of people here that have been following along with our podcast and probably know your work and the passions that you're fond of. Why don't we just give you a moment for each of you to just introduce yourself and what role that you're playing or what baseball cap, what hat are you wearing today, as we talk and frame this conversation for us. So, Mark, why don't you go first?
Yeah, the hat that I'm wearing in this context with Every Tribe, Every Nation, Illuminations is that we have a steering committee that helps steer all this together. So I'm one of those members. It's been active for just 10 years ago this month. So this is our 10th anniversary of meeting. We've met about 100 times. Typically, we meet in the Dallas airport. So I'm one of about... there's about 15 of us that meet and have met and over those time. And so that's what my role would be.
Nice. And what about you, Todd? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Very similar to Mart. I'm one of those 15 and just count it a great privilege to be using my life and the gifts and talents and resources and influence God has given me and my wife and our family to see the peoples of the earth get the scripture in their language.
Fantastic. Well, this is one of those places where we hope this to be a lively conversation. One of the things that we found a privilege to have you guys on for is really exploring some of the aspects of where the Bible and technology intersect with each other. And the projects that you guys are involved with in particular is definitely one of those places that we should, I think, highlight more in the kingdom. Why don't we start with the first project, the Illuminations.Bible, the Illuminations Project, which we'll just call out because DJ and I are biased. We love that URL, Illuminations.Bible. If you're on a second screen, you got to go look it up right now, www.illuminations.Bible. It is a beautiful website, by the way, not just functional, but it is a beautiful website that you can visit. Why don't you share with us, let's just start there, what is Illuminations all about?
Yeah, great question. We'll talk about this together. Illuminations is a collective impact alliance of the 10 leading Bible translation agencies that have all kind of galvanized and unified together around this shared vision of eradicating Bible poverty by 2033. They put down their kind of agency flags and logos and banners and have lifted up the flag that God's heart is for the nations and realize they can't tackle that on their own individually or independently, but working together, that could happen. And that's what Mart and I have the joy of being a part of.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's been exciting to see that relationship grow and grow and grow. So the one equity thing that we think we have together is trust. So how do you build that trust with each other? And one of the ways we talk about that is let's be generous, let's be humble, and let's have integrity. And so if all those three are on the table, then it helps us, because there's a lot of people on this planet who have God's word and they don't have it in their heart language. And that's just a travesty in our day and time, especially with the technology that we have now and access to that. So, but we believe by that coming together, we can do it better quality, faster, and cheaper. And so if you're a Bible translation agency and you're a Bible translator, better quality is your number one thing, right? And it is mine too. And showing back God's word, I want better quality, but I am a business guy. Right? So I'm going to add that. Well, can we do it faster and cheaper? You know, and how can we do that? And so that's been the fun conversation to bring the business talents. You know, we have 5 resource partners that meet every month, and we have others, and the 10 CEOs coming together saying, what could we do better so we stay with better quality and we do it faster and cheaper? And so that's been the fun of seeing this collaboration come together.
Now, one of the things I don't want it to be just a casual comment that you said, and it was a little bit passed over, is that let's talk about that milestone. There's a milestone that you mentioned in terms of a date that's in our generation that's going to happen while we are alive to see it happen. Can you just talk about that? Because I think from the layperson's point of view, someone who's just a pew sitter in the local church, I don't think people understand the grandness of what is going to happen in our generation with Bible translation.
Yeah, that's a great, great question and tee up. You know, before this uniting of these agencies and this alliance, the best guesses were that 2150, maybe as far out as 2200 AD, would be approached before we would, in a sense, enter the last languages. That there would be no language on earth that didn't have the gospel translated for it. But with this unity, as you have pointed out, these 10 agencies have come together around the idea that by 2033, Bible poverty would be eradicated, and they don't they know they can't get that done. Again, working on their own independently, but working together, it's possible. It's very likely. And, you know, when you say in our generation, you think about Matthew 24, where it says the gospel will be preached everywhere and then the end will come. I always like to say, I don't know when the end's coming, but I know the end isn't coming till the gospel has been preached everywhere. And the gospel can't be preached everywhere until the scripture is translated for every tribe, nation, people, and language. And so it is a pretty staggering thing to think in our lifetime, it's highly likely there will not be a language on earth without scripture. Very exciting.
Yeah, and that's 2033. We're having this conversation in 2020, so that's 13 years away. So those of you that have young children, they'll be graduating from high school or college, and then the Bible's available to the end of the earth. That is amazing. You mentioned this has been a project in 10 years. So how did this start, and what's happened in those 10 years?
Wow, yeah. When I think about how something starts, I live down here in Oklahoma, so I think about tornadoes. How does a tornado start? Well, first you have to have a thunderstorm, and then you have to have rising air, and then you have to have warm air from the Gulf of Mexico, moist air from the Gulf of Mexico, and you have to have cool, dry air from Canada. So all those things have to happen. So I'll just tell you my little story. Maybe I'm the cold air from Canada. We'll let Todd represent the warm air from Mexico. But it was on June 23rd, 1998, actually, for me, something started. Now, there's lots of starts, but at that time, I was in Chicago, and long story that I'll make really short, I went back to my room after one of those conferences. You have all this meetings, all this information, you got information overload. And the Lord just prompted me with something. Words never spoken to me audibly, but I had a prompting on my heart that someday there'd be a project so big that no ministry partner could do it by themselves. They would have to come together. And as a resource partner, you can understand, well, that'd be important to me because it saves money to me as a resource partner. And then I thought, oh, yeah. And then the resource partners would come together and have to give. We don't typically ask other givers what they're giving to. We give as a family, so we're used to giving. They would have to come together. And then both of those groups would have to come together. And I'm a journaler, so I wrote that in my journal, June 23rd, 1998. And it was 12 years later when all of a sudden this idea for a digital Bible library, which is behind Illuminations and all that we're doing. How do you digitize, centralize, and standardize all these texts? Because as a donor, I had two people asking our family to digitize the exact same text, one for a YouVersion, a Bible app here in Oklahoma City, one for print on demand. And I'm like, why would I digitize it twice for these two? Why don't I go to American Bible Society? Why don't I go to all these other Bible societies? So that was kind of the birth of it. Technology was moving faster than Bible translation. How do we put the two together? Because technology is the only way. We're only halfway to the goal. That goal we just talked about, 2033, there's about 2 million chapters. We've got about 1 million done. That means in almost 2,000 years, we got half done. We get 13 to get the other half. We got to have technology. There's no way we're going to get done in 13 years. It's going to be a miracle, but collaboration and technology are two of the keys.
Well, if I'm the warm air, then I'm gonna go back to pick up on the tail end of the last question and say we talk a lot about the fact the last Bible translator may be alive today. And God has been hastening the pace of all of this. And similar to Mart, one of my passions is partnership. And as I was about two-thirds of my way into an NFL career from 1993 to 2006, in the early 2000s had become deeply invested in Bible translation. And as I got educated on Bible translation and actually was serving on one of the boards of these 10 agencies and became the chairman, I was always scratching my head trying to understand why we weren't moving faster, because one of the things Mart and I talk all the time about is the fact that there are tens of thousands of people dying every day, tens of millions of people dying every year, who don't have access to the gospel in their language. And that's unacceptable in our book. And so having played pro football for 13 years and being on teams, I was wondering why Bible translation wasn't seeming to work better as a team. God says in the scripture, he loves it when brothers dwell together in unity. And the warm air, I guess, part of this whole thing was that agency in particular had become pretty adept at relating to major and mega donors and was going to celebrate its 1,000th language translation in late 2013. And in 2014, for the first ever Illuminations, we threw kind of a black tie quality gala event or weekend for donors just to celebrate what God had done and point forward to what was remaining. The idea there were still many, many people, hundreds of millions, a billion plus actually living in the darkness of Bible poverty. And that represented thousands of languages that didn't have a single verse of scripture. And as we came out of that weekend and saw about 100 families give $21 million to that cause, I was on a jog for my 20th anniversary, and I called Mart, and I said, hey, bro, he and Diana were with us as our guests for that weekend. I said, I'm pretty sure God just told us we should be doing this for Bible translation, not one agency. And so that next year, 2015, Illuminations 2015, we had five agencies working together to cast vision to the philanthropic community. And now we have 10 agencies, and it's been the greatest joyride of our lives.
Yeah. That is amazing. So you're saying 7,000 plus languages in the world. Of all these heart languages, still about 3,900, I believe, have little or no scripture translation. But there's been such significant progress toward that all-access goal, right? That all-access goal of 2033, we want every person have the Bible in their own heart language to have Bible translation work going on. Can you talk a little bit about that rate of progress? Has it been accelerating? Has technology helped it? Let's just talk about, like, that pace. Is that 2033 ambitious? Is it, you know, realistic? Can you talk about that? Because a lot of times organizations set goals, right? And, you know, it's always in the future and the next politician can always extend it, that type of thing. Can you talk about that rate of progress that you see in across the entire spectrum of translation toward the All Access goal?
Yeah, I'll start here first and Todd jump in. It's both exciting and frustrating. Yes, it is a very, very ambitious goal. I just shared with you, we're only halfway there after 1900 years. Now, there's lots of great things that have happened, as we know, with technology. And we trust and are believing that there'll be new technologies. The frustration is, as we've got collaboration better and better, we got better data, we realized, oh man, there's some languages we thought were started that never got started and nobody did. Oh, we found out sign languages. There's like 400 sign languages. Oh, add those to it. So while there is great progress, we're also finding more languages. But again, we want to find those. So that's been the beauty of bringing it together, is better data. And so that better data is made available through technology. Illuminations.bible is a huge reference point to that. Then people can look and say, hey, you missed this language or that language. But we got it down now to the chapter. We know how many chapters are done. And when you have data, then people can tie to that, then get excited about it. But yes, we are praying right now that some new technologies, we already have some, render is an audio to audio translation. So there's new technology to be, but we actually believe, and there's some that are in the skunk works, and we're actually paying for the skunk works. Some won't work, some will, because we know doing the same thing will not get it done by 2033, but we're trusting that God is with us, he's led us this far, and new ideas are gonna come about.
Yeah, the things I would add there are a couple. First of all, we think in terms of there being about 6,000 vital languages, languages that have a vitality score that says they'll be around in 2033. A couple thousand of those have what they need. Their goal has been met. A couple thousand are in progress, and then a couple thousand don't have anything, to your point. The good news is those in progress are in progress. They're in process and they are progressing. And that's exciting and encouraging. And we're hopeful that as technology and innovation occurs, the pace of translation will increase inside of those. For the ones that don't have anything, when you think about that 13 years, we are entering a couple hundred languages a year, generally speaking, across the overall alliance. And if that's the case, then it gives you encouragement to think that we could enter a couple thousand over the next 13 years. But to Mark's point, we need innovation and we need technological advancement. And we've got some R&D efforts and kind of some venture works that we know are going to be critical. I think one really important clarification around the All Access goals is that by 2033, we know that not all languages will have the full Bible. We have some very specific goals that are defined in that All Access goal. 100% of the world population would have access to at least some portion of Scripture. That's defined as at least 25 chapters of Scripture. A lot of the time, that's the Gospel of Luke, so that the Jesus film can be dubbed from that.
Oh, wow.
99.96% plus would have the New Testament or an equivalent amount of Scripture to the New Testament. And then 95% would have a full Bible. So 95% of the world population by 2033 would have a full Bible. And then the 100 most strategic languages would have two dynamic translations. And when you think about these 10 agencies all working together to hit the bullseye of those All Access goals, like you said earlier, Kenny, it's not happening in the kingdom of God enough. We need more unity and more collaboration.
Well, it's so wonderful that resource partners like yourself have gotten the vision and empowers a lot of that, and that technology is going hand in hand and making that happen. And I know we could probably geek out for hours talking about the technology, but in just a few minutes, can you give us a peek under the hood at what technology is doing in the world of Bible translation?
Yeah, we have what we call a big data ecosystem, you know, that we kind of have together. And at a high level, it's got the translation part. So in the translation world, there are tools. There's lots of tools that we're trying to put together. Used to, there were two major tools used in Bible translation. As a resource partner, you don't like to keep two of them world-class. What if we put these together and made one world-class? That was already in the process when we came along 10 years ago, but we highly motivated and said, yes, 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 we'll pay for one. So most of them, it's called Paratech. So it's a Bible translation program. Then you have the digital asset management. Now, once I got it translated, what am I going to do with it? So that's where you have the digital Bible library that we talked about. How can we make that centralized, standardized, and digitized so that we don't come up with these different standards so that then the people downriver from Faith Comes by Hearing to YouVersion, Jesus Film, all these other people downriver who need these texts don't need to get them in a bunch of formats. And so that digital Bible library helped us do that. For connecting and reporting, we got the illumination.bible. That's for the public. That's for people to go see and all that stuff. It has the information. It's nice and simple and easy. There's also one called progress.bible. That's where the translators go. They can see information they need that the most the general public wouldn't need and all that stuff. And then we have publishing. How do we get this stuff so it's ready for print on demand? And so we have a global Bible dialogue. So there's about 10, 12 tools all kind of together because it's more than just translation. We translate it and nobody takes it out to the public. We didn't get a win there either. Obviously, they get in their people group, but some people can't read. They need the audio. They need the Jesus Film. We need other players to come down beside us. So let's make it real easy for those players to do what they do to get Bible engagement.
Yeah, and
that's,
you know,
amazing.
There are,
Todd.
Yeah, well, I just would say there's such a spectrum of or a continuum of innovation and technological advancement, and sometimes we have the joy of witnessing a language community get a bicycle or solar power or a laptop, and that changes everything for them. You know, innovation's relative. And so if you can get a guy on a bicycle who's been walking 5 or 10 or 50 miles to do translation, and he can go in a third or a quarter or a fifth of the time, that's a technological advancement for him. And then the other side of that coin is that we're looking into AI and things like that, and trying to understand how, you know, automation and mechanical, you know, activity can improve this. And so God is moving and we are seeing all kinds of cool things, but there's a tremendous amount of work to do. I was reading in the scripture this morning that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and we need more people aware of the opportunities in Bible translation and the people on earth without the scripture in their language. And then we got to believe, just like you guys talk about, there'll be an intersection of those things, and more and more and more good will come from that.
It's fascinating to me, again, that you've been able to harness the good of all the different organizations in the constellation to work together and extract that goodness for a tip of the spear to solve a problem that it's kudos to you guys for being able to pull that together. What is one of the, I guess, we've talked about the high level stuff, the big picture stuff, but it also comes down to, right, every person has a name, not just a number. There must be a lot of things that you've experienced personally throughout this project. Throughout the years, would you, each of you, maybe share a story of transformation that maybe most impacted you personally and just keeps fueling you on to keep on going and pushing with this type of project? Because you're talking about a project that has decades of duration. And to have that focus and drive and the passion for it must come also from periodic seeing actual stories of transformation. Is there something that each of you can share with the people that are listening in today?
All right, I'll go first. Well, I'm looking at Todd go first on this one. There's no question for me. It's February 7th, 1998, Kenny and DJ. There was a moment in my life that is before and after. And long story that we'll make short. I was down in Guatemala. We had been there. We had been a part of helping pay for the printing of the Bible, not the translation, just the printing, because they're subsidized. They sell them for a quarter or whatever. So we helped pay for the printing. And so we were doing that with the Wycliffe Bible Translators. I said, Mark, you got to come on this dedication. So I'm going to go to this dedication. I'm depressed on the way down there, to be honest with you, because I got information about the translation. There was only 30,000 people who spoke the language. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Only 30,000 people speak the language. But the worst news is there was only 400 believers who could read. So I'm thinking, I just spent all this money for 400 people. And so I get down there, found out the translation started in 1958. There was a lot of warfare and stuff like that had happened down in this situation. So it's a long story. This translation started in 1958. This is 1998. 40 years, these people translating the Bible. And I'm like, I have no idea how to console them, but I'm not doing this anymore. This is the end. I'm going to find another ministry. This is not worth all this effort. And then during the ceremony, they actually gave a Bible to the four Eastern Hokeltek. That was the name of the people group. And when Gaspar went forward to get his Bible, he wept, wiped away his tears. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit just dropped a question in my heart. And that was, why don't you go tell Gaspar he's not a good ROI, return on investment, my language. Because I've been asking that question all the way down here. This is not a good ROI. And so in that moment, I went from why would I do this to how am I going to make sure everybody on planet Earth has God's word in our language? Because if I waited to get my Bible for the first time for 40 years, I probably would have wept just like Gaspar did. So that's actually a 4-foot by 4-foot painting in my home as a reminder for me, my family, my kids, and now my 11 grandkids will start asking me about that photo.
I love that story, and I would share a couple quickly, and they really touch different categories of people. One is folks that got scripture the very first time, similar to Mark's. My wife and I and our kids were sitting under a tree out in rural Tanzania with a nomadic people group where the scripture had kind of invaded that community just recently. And there was a small church that had formed around God's word, and in particular, an indigenous pastor, a local pastor from that people. And we were in a listening group, and the gentleman who was hosting us there asked us in that group if we would comment on the power of scripture in our language, in our life. And several of the tribal people there spoke up and said some things, and he cut him off and he said, no, I know all that stuff. I know your kids behave better, and I know you learn this and you learn that, and you read about giving and sharing. I want to know something that has happened that's dramatically changed in your life. And the pastor's wife spoke up and she said, well, before we got God's word in our language, my husband beat me, and now he doesn't anymore. And that changed everything for me, because I really understood how critical it is for a people, where God's desire is for people to be dignified by each other and loved and cared for and served. That's the picture of the gospel we have in the scripture, right? We lay our lives down for others. It helped me understand we need to get God's word into every single tribe, nation, language, and people, because we can't have pastors beating their wives. That doesn't make sense. The other side of the coin for me would be the philanthropic piece of the puzzle. And Martin, I have a huge privilege to care for and engage with and interact with a lot of other people who are giving generously to this work. And I think about a couple in particular where a guy had really had a hard time kind of letting loose of what God had given him. And he knew God had given it to him, and God had given him a lot, but he just had a real hard time kind of holding it loosely. And as a result of the work of Bible translation, specifically Illuminations and kind of the community they'd become a part of, he made a commitment to give $1 billion away in his lifetime and has given made numerous significant commitments, working toward that. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 11 where it says, the world of the stingy gets smaller, the world of the generous larger and larger. And I've had that man say to me numerous times, and Mark knows him as well, how his world has enlarged as a result of him giving generously toward this work. And so those are pictures of life transformation, like Gaspar weeping over the scripture, like this pastor and his wife having reconciliation because of the power of the scripture in their language. This guy understanding everything he has is from God. That's power of scripture and the transformation it brings in our life.
Wow. Hallelujah. Well, thank you both for being generous and also having the vision for Bible and technology, because it is very much the means by which God is pouring out his grace and changing lives of people. So glad you're part of it. I know for me, I've been able to walk in the Museum of the Bible, where illuminations.bible is kind of one of the rooms where you can actually see the 7,000 languages and which ones have translations, which ones don't. And you see these blank spines, and it's such a visceral experience to realize there are people that do not hear about who God is and his love for them. And you're making it possible through Illuminations, and the website illuminations.bible is a tremendous window for people to take a look at exactly how many people there are and the progress it's making. So thank you for making all of that possible for so many people.
Our privilege.
Thank you.
Before we close out for the day, one of the things that I love about Illuminations is that you've made access, not just for the word, for the people who are receiving it, but also those that want to get involved. There are ways for even a small gift to have an impact. Could you just share a little bit about that? I saw on your site that even as little as $35 is able to make a difference. So I, one of those things I want to make clear to prospective partners that are able to jump on board, you too can be a part of this. It's not just some enigmatic thing in the sky called Illuminations, that you can be part of Illuminations. Can you just share a little bit about that? Because before we close out, I just want to make sure we give everyone the opportunity to dream together and be part of this project with you guys.
Yeah, we want everybody to be a part of it. Like you said, Kenny, we believe that the widow, the school teacher in Topeka, Kansas, the guy working a lumber yard in Southwest Texas, all of us should be a part, because God's called all of us as followers of Christ to go and make disciples of all nations and to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the way to the ends of the earth. And so this is a global church thing. Mart and I, our heartbeats, these 10 CEOs, these other resource partners, our heartbeats for the church to be a part of this work. And that's churches, and that's individual givers, and it's family givers, and it's wealthy people, and it's the widow with two mites. And like you said, you can go to illuminations.bible, and for $35, you can fund the translation of a verse, or you can give 10 verses, or you can do a chapter, or you can do a whole New Testament or a full Bible. And so it's just our joy and privilege to be a part of what God's doing to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your time today. That wraps up our time for this interview. Really amazing stuff. I think this, hopefully for our audience, if you're hearing this for the first time, it really piques your interest, and you'll hop over to illuminations.bible and share it. Share it from your perspective with your friends, because that's what social media is about. And this is one of those things. If we're going to use social media for good, this is one of those things that we should try it for. So thank you very much for our guests. Thank you for listening to our interview today. If you've been following along with our podcast, you know that the show notes and every episode is available on all the podcasting networks, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and anywhere else you listen to audio, but also on our website at future.bible. And we'd love to hear what you loved about this talk and interview and other topics that you'd love for DJ and I to cover in episodes ahead. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we hope that we'll see you here next time on the future.bible podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.